Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome to The Corridor. I'm Dinah Jansen, and today I'm joined by CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative producer, Jesse Bell. Our first story is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter, Christina Laurie, covering the planned 2025 relocation of the Partners in Mission Food Bank.
Partners in Mission Food Bank is officially making the move to a new, larger space to accommodate for increased demand. Partners in Mission is currently located at 140 Hickson Avenue and has been there since 2003. However, as demand continues to rise in the Kingston community, with the organization helping over 8,000 Kingstonians in 2023, Partners in Mission now finds themselves in need for more space for storage, volunteers, and those seeking services. It has been announced that in 2025, Partners in Mission will be making the move just 25 meters away to 4 Harvey Street. I sat down with Dan Irwin, Executive Director of Partners in Mission Food Bank, to discuss the move. Partners in Mission is officially set to move to a new location. What challenges are you experiencing at your current location that made you decide this is a needed change?
Yeah, well, we're in what's going to be our fourth year in a row with record numbers, and we've just maxed out at what we can do here. Unfortunately, we're so full that our clients are unable to come into the building, so they're waiting outside in all sorts of terrible weather, and that's just not something we're comfortable with. So our new space is going to enable our clients to come inside. It's a shopping model, so they'll be able to choose the food they want. So it's going to be a much better experience for them.
And the new location is just a few meters up the street. How much more space will this provide? What's the jump here?
Yeah, so we're going to double our space. Our total square footage in this building is just around 8,000, and the new building will be 17,500.
Were the funds for this move achieved through fundraising?
Yeah, so we've known that this building had limitations and that we were growing so fast. So we've been trying to put money away. So that's what we've been trying to working towards. We're also fundraising right now to help with the renovations. We're looking for $1 million for our renovations. We're at right around the $350,000 mark. So we're still got a ways to go to help us to get these renovations paid for.
And you will still be at your current location during the busy holiday season. What challenges does that present, and what's the plan for the next few months?
Yeah, so right now we're at busy season, so it's going to get very full in here. We've got some awesome volunteers, 130 of them, who are doing their best to squeeze in here and there, and we're going to do that. That's kind of what we do here. We play the Jenga game, and we manage to get everything stacked up safely, and we still help the clients that need it. We'll be here until we're expecting a move date sometime in March. We'll firm that up as we get closer. We're just going to tighten it up, and we'll make it too.
How can folks donate if they'd like to support the move?
If they want to help support us, they go to kingstonfoodbank.ca, and there's a donate button, and right there they hit that donate button and make a donation to us. If I can also add, if anyone needs help, they should call us. We're in the busy time, so you need to call us as soon as possible, 613-544-4100, and that's Monday to Friday.
Once again, that was Executive Director Dan Irwin with Partners in Mission Food Bank, sitting down with CFRC to discuss the organization's move to a new and larger space in the spring. Partners in Mission is currently sitting just above the $250,000 mark on their way to fundraising $1 million for renovations. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thank you to Christina Laurie for that story. Up next is Dinah Jansen with a story from the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for the Brockville Recorder and Times, Keith Dempsey, about a 12% increase in residential taxes in Gananoque.
Thank you, Jesse. Gananoque property owners face a 2025 tax increase of 12% as the budget process begins, an increase the mayor says is necessary to make up for the historic underfunding of reserves. The town of Gananoque's 2025 draft budget is now available for public consideration and review. Mayor John Beddoes noted that Gananoque's capital reserves have been historically under-resourced, and that since 2022, taxpayers have only averaged 50% or so of what should have been set aside. Since 2022, the town has managed to increase that amount to an average of about 76% of what should be set aside on residents' behalf, Beddoes added. New provincial regulations like the Community Safety and Policing Act, the requirement to run cameras through sewer lines in watersheds, and other safety measures have imposed mandatory costs onto municipalities, which the town has to fund through municipal property taxes, he said. Beddoes noted that the province is making Gananoque implement these changes and navigate the new costs that come with them. The town's asset management plan underscores the replacement cost of town assets, as well as the shortfall in contributions to capital reserves over time. Beddoes stated that council is facing a difficult decision year as the town must now figure out how to catch up on previously deferred works and capital contributions, coupled with new costs from the province. There are no easy answers, Beddoes added, and deferring necessary work is a poor option as the cost of service delivery and capital maintenance will only increase going forward. And thank you to Keith Dempsey for that story. And now over to Jesse Bell with a report by the LJI reporter for YGK News, Owen Fullerton, about a new agreement between the CHL and the NCAA that's benefiting the Kingston Frontenacs.
Thank you, Dinah. The Kingston Frontenacs announced the signing of forward Kieran Durvin to an OHL scholarship and development agreement last week, making him one of the first players to benefit from the new agreement between the Canadian Hockey League and the NCAA. Durvin, who plays for St. Andrews College Prep School and was selected 86th overall by the Fronts in the OHL draft in 2023, committed to joining Penn State in November of 2023, with the expectation of playing out his high school career at St. Andrews. The new developmental agreement will now allow CHL players to join NCAA programs after playing in the CHL. This means that Durvin can now officially play in the OHL for the Frontenacs and maintain his NCAA eligibility. In a press release, General Manager Corey Cooper said the team is excited to have Durvin under contract, and it's something they've wanted to see happen for well over a year. Cooper added that Durvin should be a full-time member of the roster next season, but they hope to have him in the lineup before the end of the 2024-2025 season. Durvin had previously stated that he was willing to sacrifice his NCAA eligibility to play in the CHL, but now he won't have to. Another current Kingston Frontenac has announced their intent to join the NCAA post-CHL career. Former Montreal Canadiens draft pick Cedric Guendon announced that he was committing to the University of Vermont. Guendon formerly would have been unable to play in the NCAA and would have more than likely been looking to join a Canadian U Sports team or continue his career in Europe after having his rights relinquished by the Canadians. With this new agreement in place, Guendon will benefit from the best of both worlds.
And thank you to Owen Fullerton for that story. Now over to LJI reporter for CJAI-FM Amherst Island Radio, Ted Evans, with a story about a 7% increase in residential taxes in Loyalist Township.
Residential property taxes are set to jump 6.98% in Loyalist Township, with its 2025 budget on the way. The third and final meeting regarding the draft budget took place this week, with the final budget expected to be adopted on December 10th. The increase in residential property taxes comes from a $23.57 million levy requirement within the budget. Treasurer and Director of Finance Shelley Stedall explains the increase.
The levy requirement is the $23.5 million, which is a $2.1 million increase over 2024. And that increase in just the levy is a 9.9% increase. Now, when we apply the market value assessment that's levied by MPAC, we come up with just a residential township tax rate that would be re-increasing year over year 6.98%. So 6.98% is the tax rate increase that people would actually pay on their tax bill, or just the township portion of their taxes. That's how much it would increase at the current proposed 2025 draft budget.
The budget also includes funds for local transportation services, including $1.4 million for Amherst View Transit and $7.9 million for the Amherst Island Ferry. Capital projects will receive nearly $9.5 million to address infrastructure needs. Staff noted they will be making an application to the Green Municipal Fund to fund 80% of a feasibility study estimated at $150,000. They will also be applying to the Township Community Grant Program to fund the remaining 20%. Councillor Carol Park spoke about the impact of the township's physician recruitment program.
In 2023, council approved the establishment of the program to try to recruit family physicians, which was for $100,000 per physician over 5 years. Ideally, we had budgeted one additional physician every year, and that was to come out of operating, and initially $60,000 was applied for from the community grant fund. We were fortunate, I would say, in that we got three physicians in the first year, not just one. And so we have committed through agreement to fund for three physicians who have taken over for retirements at the Loyalist Family Health Team in Amherst View, which we're very fortunate that those patients did not lose their family physician. That only leaves us $20,000 in the budget. So initially, if council wanted two additional physicians coming up, it would be an additional $40,000 on that. But staff made the cut, and so removed one of them. So right now, the budget currently includes $20,000 for an additional physician in 2025 to be able to pay for the recruitment of one more in 2025. So the $20,000 savings is for what's currently in the budget to be able to offer the Physician Recruitment Incentive Program.
Corporate Communications Manager Trevor Cornelius explains the importance of public input.
We've had those conversations with the finance team and the communications team. I think going into next year, there's a broader range of tools that we can incorporate and use with this platform, such as like participatory budgeting and having budget sliders so people can identify or allocate preferences in terms of how they would like to see funds allocated. So I think there's more opportunities to have resident impact on those results, because yeah, it is easy to say you don't want the taxes affected, but sometimes there's choices that have to be made, and it'd be nice to involve residents in that process as well.
Councillor Paul Proderick spoke about wanting to see more public input in the future.
The results are tilted in one direction, obviously. So nobody wants the taxes to go up, obviously. But give them that section to say, well, what would you cut? Because I think that's the central issue here, is nobody wants their taxes to go up. And it's easy to say, right? But what are the alternatives for the general public? And that's something I'd like to see down the road.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
Thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Next is the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CJPE, Brenda Little, with a story about the first Hoarding Action Response Team Coalition training sessions being held for public service workers in Prince Edward County.
Hoarding is not a clutter problem. It's not a laziness problem, but it is a thinking problem and a mental disorder recognized by the World Health Organization. And sadly, it is on the rise. It is estimated that 2 to 6% of Canadians have a hoarding problem, with most being over the age of 60. Recently in Prince Edward County, Hoarding Action Response Team Coalition, or HARD as it's known, held a training session where over 90 people attended that was a mix of first responders, social and mental health workers, and others. Several people came from as far away as Peterborough and Cobourg to learn about hoarding, the fire, disease, and biohazard dangers of a hoarding situation, and how to handle working with persons that hoard. Attendees heard presentations from a mental health expert, sanitation specialist, and an animal welfare inspector, who all stressed the need for workers to use personal protective equipment. Sanitation specialist Ryan Stickley was asked about safety equipment, and he talked about the use of PPE and biohazard suits.
There's two really separate components of it, and that is things like wearing face coverings and wearing suits and wearing gloves when you meet somebody for the first time. Like if I came to your house for the first time, you invited me over and knocked on the door, I showed up in a suit and a mask and gloves, you're going to be like, what's wrong, right? And so these people feel the same, these clients will feel the same way. And so it can become a barrier to building that trust, to building that moment. The counterpoint to that is that if, Laura, if you're going into people's houses, or if your team are going into people's houses, is that if you go into the house and you feel safe, it's going to be easier for you to build some connection. And when you leave that place and you're going home to your family and you're not so worried about it, it's going to be easier for you to find the little bit extra for tomorrow to follow back up with that person. I think as far as practical application of what it looks like, you learn some things that work, you learn some phrases to use, and they almost all universally work. So when I enter a place and I put on foot coverings, they always say, oh, don't worry about it, or what do you need those for? I say, hey, really important for me not to leave anything behind while I'm here. So we can just change some of how we're presenting that information. I would make a plan, kind of an operating procedure when it's appropriate, to have that first conversation maybe not inside the house, because you're going to get a lot of information by standing by the door when they open the door, right? You can get a quick look, you can get maybe a smell, you're going to maybe notice that the person you're working with maybe smells like a situation or looks like a certain way. And then from that moment, we just say, hey, we want to have a conversation, but I want to do it a little bit that I, you know, Sherry's famous one is like, hey, I've had a bit of a cough for a couple of days, and I just, are you okay if I just protect you? And they're like, oh my goodness, here's the first person I've met that cares about me, right? And then, you know, so those are the things. We just change in how we're presenting the information to be able to give us that access. For each person, it's going to work a little bit differently. I've just found, what I said earlier, by asking permission early and often, when people give you permission, they're usually pretty apt to be a part of that thing. And I just make it, everything is nonchalant. It's not a big deal. It's sort of a passing in conversation. And generally it always works out, right? I've never, every time I put on PPE in a house, I've never had anybody be like, well, if you're gonna wear a mask, you can't come in here. Once you've identified that there's probably an issue here, we probably don't have to spend all day there. We don't have to crawl through everything on the first go, right? And so maybe the suit might not be necessary the first day, right? But some respiratory protection, if you've got to get around, you know, you got to get into a space. I leave gloves in my pocket. I never tell somebody I'm putting gloves on, right? Nobody asks questions. You already built some relationship. You're in their house, you're already. I put a glove on. Nobody ever asks a question. You're just going to find what works for you. Outside, conversation first. Present information in the right way. I've had a cough. I just don't want to bring anything into your house. It shows that you care about them. That care builds some reciprocal care and makes your job a little bit easier. That would be my advice.
HART was named and started about a year ago in Prince Edward County by Fire Prevention Officer Mike Branscombe. For the Local Journalism Initiative, frequencynews.ca and CJPE County FM, I'm Brenda Little.
Thank you to Brenda Little for that story. Over now to the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFW and Coburg, Dan Jones, with a story about the replacement of a historic single-lane bridge in Northumberland County.
An old single-lane bridge in Northumberland County is set to be replaced with a modern two-lane structure, as officials say the 75-year-old bridge has reached the end of its life. Designs are being contemplated on the replacement of the Burnley Bridge on County Road 29 near Warkworth. I spoke with Denise Marshall, Director of Public Works for Northumberland County, about the current bridge and an upcoming information session on the new structure.
The bridge itself was built, as you said, in 1950, so it would have been designed to the standards of the day and the current sort of highway loading required at that time. It was and is a single-lane structure. So, again, while the road itself accommodated two lanes of traffic, it was only designed as a single lane structure. So for lower volume traffic, as well as the types of vehicles that really were traveling the roads during that time, which again were smaller vehicles and not some of the same large vehicles that we see today.
Now, I've noticed throughout the county there are a lot of single lane bridges. I've seen one in Campbellford that's been kind of replaced recently, but are there a lot of single lane bridges in Northumberland County?
On county roadways, we don't have very many, and I don't know the number off the top of my head. As you said, we did replace two recently that were county owned, but were on lower tier roadways. And so those were replaced with single-lane structures. But on county roadways, this is the single-lane structure. And I'm not even sure if we have any others that are on county roadways. But on the lower volume roads and the lower speed roads, it was definitely, it is common to find single-lane structures. And, you know, they can still be suitable depending on, again, the traffic volumes and the type of traffic that are using those roads and bridges.
Okay, wonderful. So I imagine that the county undertook a feasibility study of the life of the current structure or the current bridge. And I would assume that feasibility study ended up saying that it's now reached its end of life. Am I correct in that assertion?
So we do biennial inspections. So every other year there are bridge inspections done on all of our structures. And that's done by structural engineers who review all of their structures and provide a condition rating. And we use that information along with a lot of other information around traffic volumes, patterns and the traffic usage and sort of what activities are required in that area to determine when those bridges need to be rehabilitated and replaced or upgraded. A standard bridge has a lifespan of approximately 75 years. Again, that really depends on the type of structure, the location, the wear and tear, what kind of maintenance has been done to it over the years. So that's a very much sort of an average that we use. And so, again, through sort of that assessment, this bridge was identified to require either rehabilitation or replacement. And as we reviewed it further and did some more in-depth review with our consultant, it was determined that this one really has reached the end of its useful life, and a full replacement is the most feasible and cost-effective option.
Okay, Denise, let's examine the current transportation needs that are even what's going on that bridge. What level of transportation are you seeing? You're seeing a lot more heavier traffic, a lot more flow, a lot more use. Kind of what are you seeing on that bridge right now?
So County Road 29 is a county road. Our road network is an arterial road network, so it's the road network is really designed for movement of goods and services, and typically has higher traffic volumes and speeds than collector or local roads. So this one is one of our lower volume arterial roads, but again, still has over 1,200 cars a day that use the structure based on our traffic counts from a couple of years ago. And we know with growth that we continue to see an increase of traffic on all of our roadways. So that's something that, you know, the traffic use has increased over the years and will continue to grow. And also being in a rural area, we also see agricultural vehicles use our roadways, and we also know that a lot of those types of vehicles have changed over time, and many are bigger, and again, sometimes have challenges when they're trying to go over single lane structures as well.
The move now is to go to a double lane ridge frame bridge. I know that the county is talking about some designs. What design, I guess, has the county settled on for what this bridge will look like?
So we will be doing a two-lane structure, and again, it'll be a concrete structure. That's sort of the most suitable structure to, again, meet sort of the current standards, also to tie in with the surrounding area. We have to consider from a cultural heritage perspective as well, sort of as what was there previously, and try to stay with the same intent and same cultural heritage look as well. And again, it'll just provide enhanced safety and improved traffic flow.
In terms of environmental studies, navigable water studies, and accommodations, are there any of those accommodations that need to be made pre-construction of this new bridge?
So we ensure that we consult with all required agencies, conservation authority, any of the other provincial or federal authorities that we may require approvals or permits from. So that is done through the planning and design process, that we reach out and find out what is required. And if permits are required, we go through the process to make sure that we've submit those permits and then complete any required studies that may need to be done.
Okay, so then, from my understanding, there may be a six-month closure of County Road 29 at the Burnley Creek Bridge. Are there detours planned, or how are you going to accommodate traffic flow for that?
Mm-hmm. So, being a single-lane structure, and because we're going to be replacing it, keeping it open during replacement is a challenge. There's a fairly narrow right-of-way there, so to try to build a new structure beside it is not feasible, and trying to build a temporary structure really is also not feasible because of the property and the cost associated with that. So we would be looking at doing a full closure for the replacement. We are still in the design stage and working through what the construction timeline would be. So at this point, we would say a 4 to 6 month closure, but that would be refined as we get closer and have the design complete and the tender, and have a contractor on board to be able to confirm the timing. We do have a proposed detour route that we would be we'll be showing at the upcoming PIC and have worked with the municipalities since a lot of that detour would also be going onto some of the municipal roadways. So it is a little bit longer detour route just given the availability of connectivity around it. But that is something that would be in place during the replacement.
And coming up in December, on December 4th, there'll be a public information session at the Warkworth Legion. I would imagine you'll probably discuss some of the stuff we're talking about now, but and hear public feedback. In terms of public feedback, what have you already been hearing from area residents?
So I don't think we've had a lot of public feedback yet. I know we do have our join-in page set up, join-in Northumberland for public engagement. You know, I think a lot of the questions really will be around, you know, what is being proposed and, you know, will it be single lane or double lane? What's the detour look like? How long will construction take? You know, a lot of those types of questions to understand, again, what is the impact to the residents in the area and those that use it, use that roadway as well. So I anticipate that those are a lot of the questions that we will get, and just questions around, yeah, what the design is and maybe some of the studies that we've done. But that's what I'm anticipating at this point.
This is Dan Jones reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative.
And thank you to Dan Jones for that story. And now over to Jesse Bell for the CFRC Environment Canada weather forecast.
Thank you, Dinah. This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Thursday, December 5th, daytime high of 3 degrees with a 30% chance of flurries throughout the day, dropping down to minus 8 overnight. Start of a pretty bitterly cold stretch of days for us here in the city of Kingston. Friday, December 6th, daytime high of minus 4, dropping down to minus 11 overnight with that 30% chance of snow. Saturday, December 7th, a chilly minus 4, only dropping 2 degrees to minus 6 overnight, 40% chance of flurries. Sunday, December 8th, we're going to see a daytime high just below 0. It's going to be hovering around that 0 minus 1 mark. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, December 9th, it's actually going to be an unseasonably warm day. I'm seeing daytime highs of 5 to 6 degrees, and that remains consistent going into Tuesday, December 10th, and Wednesday, December 11th. Both days are going to be unseasonably warm, hovering around the low double digits. We're looking at 7 to 8 degrees. And that's a wrap for your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Throwing it over to CFRC for your community concert and events calendar. This is Jesse Bell from CFRC 101.9 FM, and this is your weekly events calendar. On Thursday, December 5th and Friday, December 6th, the Kingston Grand Theater will host the State Ballet Theater of Ukraine and The Nutcracker. The performance features a 50-dancer ballet troupe, a brand new set, and over 200 exclusive costumes created especially for this production. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are available online via the Kingston Grand Theater website. On Thursdays, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And of course, the Grad Club is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday starting at 8 p.m. On Friday, December 6th, City Hall will be illuminated white and purple for the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. White and purple ribbons are worn on this day to remember the 14 female engineering students who were murdered at L'École Polytechnique de Montréal on December 6, 1989, in an act of gender-based violence. It is also a day to reflect on all women whose lives have been harmed or lost to gender-based violence. Saturday, December 7th marks the beginning of Downtown Kingston's free trolley and carriage rides program. Experience the magic of Downtown Kingston in winter. Pickup and drop-off is at Springer Market Square. And finally, on Sunday, December 8th, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online and on-air concert and events calendar? Reach out today via CFRC.ca, and don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at CFRC Music.
And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter X at CFRC. You can support CFRC and its independent news programming by donating via CFRC.ca. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for joining us.
Hey everyone, this is Joseph Guido. I am CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence project intern. Do you love local music and supporting local arts? CFRC's annual funding drive is running until December 31st, and your gift is needed to help us provide local musicians with modern, top-of-the-line equipment, space, and technical support to better showcase their creativity on our airwaves all year round. Help us raise $25,000 this year. Make your gift today via CFRC.ca.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. This is Absolutely Frivolous. Welcome, to CFRC and this wonderful little show. I really like being here. And right now we are in the midst of our funding drive. Woohoo! I'm sure if you've been listening, you've heard about it. And we've got a few things coming up. We had a wonderful wrestling event that raised quite a bit of money. Well, not quite a bit, but some money, I guess. Apparently it was a great time. I heard from a couple of people that they really enjoyed themselves. It was really, really fun. So I hope they do it again when I can actually make it. But coming up on Sunday, December 15th, on the air, we're going to have, for one night only, another version of the Grad Club Trivia on CFRC. Yes, at 3 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th on CFRC 101.9 FM. You will be able to join all your pals once again to play Grad Club Trivia. Now, if you didn't know, the Grad Club, located at 162 Berry Street here in Kingston, Ontario, where we broadcast from, usually gets together Thursday nights. They have a live in-person trivia sort of match every week. During COVID, when everything was in lockdown, they actually came on the air and they hosted quite a few shows. It was quite good and tough at times. So I guess they're back because of the funding drive. It would be amazing if you participated because there will be fun prizes provided by amazing local donors, including gift certificates to the Grad Club. There are four exciting rounds of trivia action, and you can form a team with family and friends, or you can just play solo. So tune in at 3 p.m., type out your answers as they ask the questions, and then email them to shortwave at cfrc.ca after each round. At the end of each round, we'll total everything up and announce the winner. Chat with your favorite trivia hosts and fellow listeners, competitors on the Instagram profile page during the game. All that information is on cfrc.ca/donate. And I also would recommend not only listening, but maybe making a donation while you're enjoying yourself listening to this great show. So do that, please. It's going to be fun. I'm going to try to do it too. Momo, or as he's now known, or her, I'm not sure if it's, well, it's Dr. Momo to you, apparently. And the COVID Kids, Citrus Maxima, and DJ Squared will return for this wonderful show. So, like I said, go and donate if you can. CFRC.ca has all the information about our little station, why we ask for funds from our wonderful audience out there. And we want to thank you guys and the list of people that have donated gifts and swag and all kinds of things and have actually contributed to our funding program. And you know what? It supports my volunteer work. It supports all the other volunteers here at the station, the paid, very hardworking staff that we have here. And does things like upgrades our studio equipment and all kinds of things. Keeps us going, basically. So we'd really appreciate it. Like I said, go to cfrc.ca/donate. I have one person for comedy today because, you know, if you listen in regularly, I usually play a lot of stand-up. It seems to be more in the last couple of years, but I quite enjoy it. So that's, and you know why it's so fun? Because I get to listen first and I get to hear the swear words and all the other stuff that I end up bleeping out. So just to preface, as I always do, if I've missed a swear word or if the topic is offensive to you in any way, we do apologize here at CFRC. That's not our goal in life, to offend anyone. Maybe some of the people here, I don't know, but not this show for sure, and not overall CFRC. So definitely, please, you know, be mindful of that. Comedy especially is out there to challenge you. No question about it. So if you find something offensive, again, that wasn't our intent. And it's going to be someone that you may find a little bit offensive. Some of his topics can be a little challenging. Let's put it that way. Brian Callen, and he's going to talk about superheroes. He's pretty funny. But just in case, be forewarned. But here he is on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
What's up, Irvine? What's up? I love it. My God. What a crazy job. This is so nuts. Like, I don't know any of you, and you're all looking at me like this. And I gotta solve that problem for the next hour. It's so anticlimactic. It's so awesome. You guys are like, ah, and then I'm like, then I gotta go into jokes. Like, if you're a musician, you'd be like, 1, 2, 3. I wanna do something. I'd love to just, like, I swear to God, I wanna be the one comic to just start things off. Like, I wanna pull my pants off and release doves. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know how you do that, but I was like, damn, you guys are his, but then doves. Believe I do this for a living. This is so, you're never encouraged to do that. I got in trouble for this my whole life. Nobody, when you're a kid, nobody's like, you in algebra, keep not paying attention. Keep disrupting the class. Keep, every time I turn my back, keep chewing your tongue and mock working off. That was my go-to. I'd be like, I'm bored. I need attention. It still works. Look. It's unbelievable. Like, just like men are supposed to be like serious. Like, the more manly you get on the man scale, like if you go from least manly, like librarian, to superhero, like as you climb that ladder, the more serious you are. My dad was a Marine. That dude never even smiled. A man, like, traditionally, you're supposed to have a grimace, like, hey, you don't, no smiling, just, hey, you know, and you grunt, just, hey, grunt, you do, hey, you know, never, never, ever laugh. A real man never laughs unless he's taking a life. And then, it's the only time. Otherwise, you grimace and you grunt because you do things that require grimacing and grunting. You fight, you punch, you work with your hands. I don't know what this is. I'm unscrewing a huge jar, whatever. But that's what your life is, a fight, it's work, and you have sex. Some, you reward yourself, but same intensity. You know, you have the same. If a real man is behind a closed door, you don't know if he's fighting or doing chores. You don't know, man. It's crazy, man. None of the great men were funny. I was thinking, I'll never be historically significant. I went through the whole list of all the great men, like Copernicus and Galileo and Freud and Newton. Einstein was witty, but it wasn't like, you know, you don't read him about him being a silly goose as well. You don't, it wasn't like, well, when protons stick to a helium isotope, gotta make sure you stabilize the electrons. Now, if the electrons do disappear, you might want to check your butt. You know what I mean? like that. I went through the list. Like Gandhi, Martin Luther King never told a fart joke, I guarantee. Nobody was laughing during his speeches. Maybe racists were, but that's it. That's the only people. It's weird. I'm funnier than all those people. I know. It's weird to have one skill set that's better than all the great men. Even Jesus. No, I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm sure he was awesome. He's better at everything. I just don't know how funny he was. I don't know. I've been to church. I read the Bible. Never laughed once, man. I don't know. I'm sure, look, walking on water, amazing. But stand-up is, this takes a long time, man. I'm just saying, if I do an hour, then he were to come on just out of the gates first time, you think he's going to be funny? Get the out. Not a shot. No, I'm sorry. Even the Pope would be like, Brian's funnier than the Lord. I think. It's weird to start my show off saying I'm funnier than God, but... I get so nervous, man. I gotta start. I really, truly feel like I have to get more religious. I feel like I gotta, because I just feel so lucky. I've been given everything. I'm not just talking about my physical symmetry and my jawline, but I'm talking about, but for real, man. I didn't do anything. Look, man, I mean, I'm a white American male in 2015 who gets paid to make people laugh. I won the historical lottery, man. I can't complain about anything. I'm just lucky. I was just born on third base. God told me to run home. I feel like I gotta do something to make the world a better place. I can't just take. Because if I die tomorrow, that's not gonna be. I just haven't done enough to make the world. I haven't given enough. I just feel like I'm gonna get to heaven and God's gonna be like, well, well, well. Check it out, everybody. It's the taker. Look at takey, takey, take. I gave you all that opportunity, a white guy. And what'd you do? You went out, you ate a lot, and you made your dick happy. Ain't that right? Seriously, well, you ever think about what you do, man? This is all about this, and I don't know, man. I gotta start. I don't even, like, I'm too horny, I think, to be a good person. Like, I mean, just as a guy, you're always thinking, it's always this, if I didn't have this situation, I'd get so much done, but he's always like, let's go, you know? I wanna f*** strangers. I'm like, whoa, I'm married, I could lose my house. But it's just a lot of bad advice. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm saying, man. It's like, I don't even think about, like, it never enters my mind. My thoughts are so filthy. I never think about helping the poor. Like, I don't even Google charity. My search history is just full of sin, man. It's hard being a guy. Being a guy is, women don't understand. It's just constant, man. You guys are so complicated with the sexual experience. You need all this information. You got to know my name, all this bullshit. Dudes, man, dudes can fall in love. They can drive by a woman 25 miles an hour. That's all they need. They're in. They're just like, I f***ing love you. And they mean it. Do you ever think about what you think about all the time, man? It's just, you know, if I'm not horny, I'm worried. It's one or the other. I'm like the horny worrier. That's what they don't write on my tombstone. If I don't clean my thoughts up, yeah, I don't want to die. I want to f***. You know, back and forth. You know, it's a terrible thing to say. I'm not that simple. Like sometimes I have overlap. Like sometimes I get worried in the middle of being horny. Has that ever happened to you? You know what I mean? Where you're like having sex and you're like, I could die right now. You know what I mean? Like global warming or whatever. I don't know. Or you're like, oh, I should have locked the door. Home invasion. You know, that's gross. I shouldn't masturbate. I don't. But that's the only time I don't masturbate standing up. I'm just saying. I don't. And that was for the joke. Because that's the only time that good posture and a smile is creepy. Right? If I catch you masturbating, please be hunched over your computer. Have some shame. You know what I mean? Hide from the dog. Anything. If I catch you and you're just smiling like... just staring at a wall, I can't be friends with you, man. It's crazy. I'm a good person. That's what I always say to myself. Like, I'm a good person. But I don't even know what that means. I'm a good person as long as things are going my way. You know what I mean? If I missed some sleep, I had an hour of sleep. Like, I like everybody. I just mean everybody everywhere all the best. But I was working on an hour of sleep, and I was like, I want everybody to die. Like, I hate everybody. You know what I mean? And then I got hungry. I was at the airport, and nothing was open, and I was an hour of sleep, and I was hungry, and I was like, fuck, I kicked a puppy, man. I was like, it was wagging. I was like, come on, you know? It's just weird. My character and my biology are so linked. It sucks. I don't know, man. I give, though. I am a good, I do give. I do try to make the world a better place, man. I give to the homeless. I keep change in my console. And when they come to my window, I always, man, because I don't know what happened to you. I'm always like, you know, don't touch my car. And, you know, I give them also advice, you know, shave, you should get it together, whatever I do. And, you know, watch my special, whatever it is, I'll give a dollar sometimes. I don't care. I'm crazy. And no, but we have limits though. Like the other day I thought I was giving him a dollar, but it turned out to be a $5 bill, and I was like, whoa. I pulled back. And it was so weird because he was like, oh, and I was like, oh, and then the light was red, and it was awkward because he was like, oh, I was like, I teased him, I was like, oh, and then that's like, who am I really? Like, what am I gonna do? And then the light turned green, and I was like, yeah, you know. It's a bad story. It was Tuesday, it's not a $5 day, it's Christmas, of course, but come on, man. I don't know, man. Two ways to make the world a better place. Charity, giving, and the other is to vanquish evil. Protect the innocent, strike down the wicked. That's why I ultimately have never really been happy, because I just still haven't become the man that I wanted to be. You know, the man I used to go to the movies for. I took movies serious as a kid, man. I would be like, I'm gonna do what that guy in the cape does. And my friends were like, bro, you gotta be a doctor or a lawyer. I was like, yeah, if you're a pussy. I'm doing what that guy does. I can't believe that I'm still not, like, there are people, look, man, there are people that need to fucking die. I don't care what anybody says. They are. They're ruining it for all of us. Most people are good. There are just a handful of people that just need to. And everybody in this room knows at least one person. At least one person that could die violently, okay? In public, you might be like, this is so terrible. But in private, you'd be like, you know, I know I shouldn't be laughing, but he was such a dick, you know? And that's how I just feel like I I was always hoping, like, my kung fu is strong. Don't kid yourself. I'm that move right there. That's my favorite. That's heart. That will stop your heart if I unleash it. If I work for my hara. That it's one of my favorite moves in street fighting. The other move in kung fu. Sorry, that's Chinese for kung fu. I speak Chinese. It doesn't matter. If I'm serious, I'll go in the body here. I go all the way in. I will grab the heart, pull it out while still pumping. And I can't, and it's hard to do. Honestly, I don't have it mastered. Every time in a street fight, I do that, I get punched right in the face, man. I know. And I practice, my fingers, I jam them in vats of dry rice constantly. And I practice on goats. I still can't get it in. I know, man. I shouldn't even show you guys this stuff. This is... I gotta close my fist, but the point is, I think heroes, like, every guy wants to be a hero. That's all I want to do. I mean, it's great. People are like, Brian, what's it like to be the greatest comedian of all time? All that stupid stuff. Like, I'm always like, I don't put any stake in those stupid awards, but you know, but you won in all five categories. Yeah, okay, I'm the Michael Jordan of comedy. It doesn't matter. But just to be a great, I think that great heroes, I think you're chosen. I think the gods are like, he's the one. Like, as a kid, I was always hoping. Like, I remember as a kid just hoping, like, I would do something. I would receive a sign because I knew I could make the world a better place. I was just, like, I always wanted to sprout angel wings or something. Like, you're brushing your teeth and all of a sudden you're like, what the? Mom! And your mom comes in, she's like, you're the one. Oh, that, or sometimes another way you know that you've been chosen, if small birds start landing on you. Yeah, just small birds, sparrows. If you're in the backyard and you're covered in sparrows one day, it's probably time to get your gear. It's probably sparrows and squirrels. Those are the two. If squirrels start jumping in your pocket and sparrows. Now, it's got to be sparrows and squirrels. If it's rats and crows, run the fucking church right away. That's not a good sign. One bird. I just need one bird. Just one. One bird lands on my shoulder. I got a list of people who are getting the shit kicked out of them. I'm telling you. And I'll tell you who's number one on my list. I'll tell you who's number one. Those a-holes from the movie Taken. I hate Eastern European sex traffickers. I'm sorry. I don't mean to generalize. I'm sure some are nice people. Whatever. For the most part, I'm not gonna use my kung fu. I'm not gonna just go in and start kicking ass. I will warn them. I'm gonna walk right to their headquarters. I'm gonna be like, you guys, let the girl go. And if they give me any of their bullshit, like, I'm sorry, my friend, it's not possible. She belongs to us. I'm gonna live out the movie. I got a good life, but if you turn my life into a movie, I wouldn't recommend going. But I'll tell you something right now. The minute they say go fuck yourself, I will fucking, I'm gonna unleash my, it's gonna be this, that. No, that's standing jujitsu. You don't know anything. I just threw his dick away. You see that? Anyway, the point is actually she's in a tower and I wanted them to build stairs, but they couldn't. So picture me walking upstairs as I'm fighting because I've always wanted to rescue a woman in a tower. And I get there and they're just bodies all over the stairs, just bodies of Eastern European sex traffickers and hearts everywhere. And I'm out of breath. She's behind the door and I'm wet. I don't know why, I just like the idea. I'm being wet, my fantasies, I'm always, the water's rivulating through my, and my hair is in my, I don't have this bull hair. If this hair gets wet, it looks like lettuce, man. It's not funny, I had to bring a hair guy in. Anyway, and then she's like, help me. A lot of guys would pick the lock, not me. I kick the door open. I've always wanted to just kick a door open with my heel, and every time I rescue a woman in my fantasy, she's always in a state of undress. She barely has time to cover her breasts. She says, who are you? What are you doing here? I'm like, we don't have time to talk. Let me help you with these. I don't know what I do. It's an emergency. I got to get her out of there. I grab her by the small of the waist, and I hoist her here. Use your hips. Don't hurt your back. Use and throw her up. I would grab her by the hand and run her out, but she can't keep up. My legs are too long. They're too long and heroic. I cover too much ground, man. Look at me, I'm a racehorse, man. She's in high heels. How's she gonna, it's impossible. She's on my shoulder. She's never been on a hero's shoulder. She's like, holy, your body feels like warm wood or whatever. She's on my back and I'm just mowing her captors down. Just good. Machine gun holding it sideways. You ever seen that in the movie? Let me answer the question. No, you f***ing haven't. She's like, I'm like, calm down. That's just how I calm a woman down. I lost my pants in the fight. I don't know if I mentioned that. No, because nothing weird. I was just fighting, and they released a dog, attack dog, Dutch Shepherd, bite trained. I could tell. And I was fighting. I didn't see it, but I could sense it because I run with wolves. And it came at me, and I pulled here, and it grabbed me here, and I kicked it off like that, and it took my pants because my pants are Velcro. And so my was just like flying, you know, it's like it's not safe because I'm fighting and there's too much floppage. I could tear my so I had to take my bandana off, tie down tight. It's not comfortable, but it keeps me disciplined and honest. I'm all about discipline and honesty. Anyway, it's scary. I'm just good, and I don't run out of bullets. Don't worry. Because I'm wearing bandoleros. Bandoleros is Spanish for bandolero. I speak Spanish. I am Spanish, I think. I don't know. I've always wanted to look more. I love that look, that beautiful Latin, the hair. I want to be, you know, salsa dancer. You know that? I love that, man. My name, though, I don't have a... It's a bull name. I don't have a hero's name. Brian. Brian's here. We're safe now. Who says that? I want a Spanish nickname. I'd love to have a Spanish. That's when you know you're a badass, when they give you a Spanish nickname. Man, I'd give a pinky to kick a door open and have a girl go, El Gato. Anything in Spanish, El Gato, El Scorpion, even butterfly, Mariposa. Man. Oh, I love that. There are a lot of problems with me being El Gato. I don't have that mindset, man. I wake up like El Gato wakes up every morning. He's like, today's a good day to die. I woke up the other day and my feet hurt. I was like, oh, I know. My wife was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I definitely have foot cancer. El Gato doesn't Google foot cancer.
Hello, CFRC listeners. This is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. And you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC hit our $25,000 fundraising goal this year by donating today at CFRC.ca.
Did you know that alcohol is a leading risk factor for disease, disability, and premature death in Canada? Alcohol can lead to both short and serious long-term health risks. Learn more about risks to your health and safe use of alcohol by visiting publichealthontario.ca.
Hi, I'm Danny Michel, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 in Kingston, Ontario.